In 1976, a group led by Frank Collin wanted to march in Skokie, Illinois. The event drew national attention and multiple court rulings because it was a group of Nazi sympathizers who proposed to march in a predominantly Jewish community. This museum perhaps would not be here if not for that demonstration. It's today's edition of The American Countryside. Sled dogs, musk ox, and the largest vegetables on the planet. It's just a few of the things you'll see on our American Countryside adventure to Alaska, August 31st through September 8th. We'll ride the Alaska Railroad, sail the Kenai Fords, tour Denali National Park, and see Alaska sea life. We'll also experience Alaskan agriculture and tour the Alaska State Fair. It's an amazing trip, and I hope you'll join us. So get your free brochure by calling 800-826-2266. That's 826-2266, or find our ad at AmericanCountryside.com.
Shoot, we forgot the car seat.
No worries, just put little Billy in the front seat.
You wouldn't let your child do that, so why would you let them play around dangerous farm equipment? Every day, 38 children are injured on the farm. That's 1,166 a month, nearly 14,000 a year, and one of them could be yours. Educate yourself and your kids about dangers on the farm. For tips, materials, and ideas, visit farmsafetyforjustkids.org. This message brought to you by Farm Safety for Just Kids.
The Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center is the second largest Holocaust museum in the U.S. As Ariel Weiniger explains, there's a good reason it's located here in the Chicago suburb of Skokie.
Skokie had a very large Holocaust survivor population. It's also very well known because in 1977, a neo-Nazi group tried to march in Skokie because of this large survivor population.
The attempted march spurred survivors to share the story. The Chicago area had the second highest Jewish population in the U.S. at the time of World War II, so family members here might support extended family in Europe who were trying to escape the Nazis.
In the DP camps, people would look in phone books, and their last name was Rosenberg, and they would just send letters to every Rosenberg they could find, asking if they were relatives. Oftentimes they weren't, but they would support those people. So a large population of survivors did come to the Chicago area.
But many in the Skokie area simply tried to forget the memories of the Holocaust until the failed neo-Nazi march proved they needed to share their experiences, lest the world forget.
There were about 70,000 residents in Skokie, 40,000 of which were Jewish, and between 7,000 to 8,000 were Holocaust survivors.
Initially, Holocaust survivors set up a speakers bureau here to share their experiences with the public. It has grown to something even larger.
They were losing a lot of the survivors at a very quick pace, and they wanted to do something that would be monumental and be here for the long term. So they came together and built this much, much larger institution.
The world-class museum attracts visitors from around the world. It's a testament to the story of survival of those who helped make the dream come true. Traveling the countryside in Skokie, Illinois, I'm Andrew McRae.